Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, July 11th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
I'm good. Coogie Loop is in my life, so I'm good.
Oh, you know, that's a great thing. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am great.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. Maybe Cuckoo is in your life? Anyhow, apparently sometimes my jokes just don't resonate with my audience. John?
Did you tell a joke?
Sorry, I had my Vulcan ears on. It went in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, well, I'm going to change the subject. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Mac Weldon, which is really awesome, and we'll talk about them soon. But first, I want to talk about the doom that is Macintosh. So we have the Mac Pro, which nothing has happened with for a long time. We have the MacBook Air, which rumors say is being discontinued. We have the Mac Mini, which we haven't seen anything happen with in a couple of years, and rumors say it's gone too. So you know, when you put things like that together, it doesn't look so good for the Macintosh. But you see it differently, John. So what's up with that?
I do. When you do a lot of reading and you've explored the Macintosh for as long as I have, you sort of get a gut feeling. I don't have any evidence for this, but my intuition, my Macintosh intuition, says that the product line is changing. This is Friday's Particle Debris. The Macintosh product line will change before our eyes. I think what we're seeing is a transition period. You know, I was in an Apple store a couple weeks ago, and my wife was vaguely interested in a Mac Mini, and there we were standing on this awesome wooden table, next to the wooden table, and we were looking at a Mac Mini from 2014 connected to a Thunderbolt display from 2011. And I was just appalled. Yeah.
It discontinued.
And so I went back and did some research on the Mac Mini and saw when it was released and what the problems were with it and how it's not upgradable. And I thought, well, let's start thinking about this. And then I read across a cool article by Kate McKenzie at Mac360 where she talked about how she thought some Macs were just going to go away, the MacBook Air, the Mac Mini, and the Mac Pro. And I don't see it quite the way she saw it, but it was a stimulating and well thought out article. So I wanted to elaborate on my thoughts on those three Macs and my thoughts on the product line in general.
So what's your take?
I think we're going through a transformative period. I think Apple's getting ready to bring some orthogonality to the product line. The MacBook Air has been an outlier. Apple will probably cancel it altogether because of its older technology. And there comes a time when it doesn't make sense to send good money after an old technology. And Apple sort of set the table with the 2015 MacBook and its update in 2016. And we're expected to see all those technologies roll into the MacBook Pros if Apple would only release them and announce them soon, we hope. And maybe with an OLED function keys thing at the top and Skylake processors. And so it's sensible to see a line where there's MacBooks as the entry with the new technology, USB-C, and so on, and then the MacBook Pros. Where does the MacBook Air fit in? Well, it doesn't, and Apple might cancel it, or they might reconfigure it and design it for education and try to fight the Chromebooks with a really inexpensive 13-inch MacBook Air and maybe a slight renaming of it, maybe a slight upgrade of the technology, renaming, but still the standard USB-A ports and MagSafe for, as a catering to students. It's painful to think about staying with that old technology because we know that Apple moves us relentlessly forward. On the Mac Mini, Jim Tanis roundly criticized the Mac Mini in 2014 when it came out as not being much better than the previous version from what was it, 2012. And Apple doesn't seem to have any heart and soul in the Mac Mini. And it was primarily designed as a switcher Mac, designed to entice people over to the Mac during the PC wars, when we had the Mac versus PC ads on TV and so on. But The Mac Mini, despite the fact that it's beloved and the readers don't want it canceled, my take is that it's not a big market for Apple, and it doesn't merit being carried forward. And Apple just canceled, as we know, the Thunderbolt display. So that leaves only one Mac, the Mac Pro, that needs a display. And I don't see the Mac Pro being canceled. I see it being rethought a little bit, made more expandable, more tempting, more to die for. Thunderbolt 3, fourth generation Xeon processors, maybe a slight change in the case design to make it more expandable for professionals. And then you can go out and attach, you know, a beautiful display to it of your choice. Mm-hmm. So I think that once that's done, we'll have a really nice product line of 5K iMacs, a glorious new second generation Mac Pro 2016, MacBooks and MacBook Pros with that OLED function strip. And there'll be some nice symmetry moving forward. Advanced technologies, effaceable memory probably, so we can move forward with APFS, and when we sell our Macs, we can, you know, delete the encryption key just like an iPhone and be on our way, not worrying about selling a Mac with an SSD in there and leftover stuff. So that's kind of how my intuition tells me that Apple's moving forward, and we haven't had any products released in Apple's, what was it, third quarter, March through June. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting for a hardware announcement coming up here in the fall with Sierra and new phones and new Macintoshes. And I think we'll see at that point how Apple's going to kind of clean up and reinvigorate the hardware line, especially the Macintoshes. So that's kind of how I'm suspecting things are going to go. In 2014, on the 30th anniversary of the Mac, Phil Schiller said, "We see a role for the Mac as far as the eye can see." And I agree with that. Professionals, developers, students, scientists, architects, businessmen, travelers, we all need our desktops and we all need our glorious MacBooks. Mac isn't going anywhere for years. It may switch to AXX processors with virtual memory support.
You mean the processors that Apple is using in the iPad and iPhone?
Right, right. That might happen. We keep hearing rumors about that. But I think that's still a ways off. So we're going to have the Macintosh around. It's just going to get better and better. And we're kind of waiting right now as Apple kind of, you know, spent its time working on organizing this and getting its new technologies out the door. And I think we're going to be very pleased this fall.
Brian, you've been very quiet.
That's because John's optimism is so adorable.
Do tell.
I hope that you're right. I'd like to think that you're right. I know that my thoughts on the Mac line are frankly clouded by abject fury at the Mac Pro languishing and the fact that Apple has the gall to charge us the same price for the Mac Pro that was introduced in 2013, and is still charging that same price today. I mean, the gall is I'm getting.
Yeah, and it's on display in every Apple store near you with a 2011 Cinema display attached, even the Thunderbolt display attached. Even though they're end of lifing it, they still have to keep enough to display in the stores.
Yeah, so I mean, it's
an embarrassment.
It is an embarrassment, and I'm not tense about the rest of the Mac product line. I mean, the Mac Mini has always just been sort of half-assed, and a device that I personally didn't really care much about. So I haven't, you know, I haven't spared much angst about it. I think that the iMac line is glorious. I'm sure that we're going to get an update to the Mac Portable line in the next few weeks, if not by the fall at the latest. So I'm not really worried about the Mac Portable line. I think the Portable line is actually grand. The Pro line just infuriates me, and I cannot understand Apple's mismanagement of the Pro market. I don't understand it at all, and like John Keat, it very much frustrates me. I think that Apple is, well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that most of us love about Apple is the company's willingness to not care about anything. You know, there's no loyalty in Apple for legacy technologies, quite frankly, for its employees. You know, Apple's Steve in particular was never interested in what an employee had done for him yesterday. Steve was interested in what that employee was going to do for him tomorrow or today. And I mean, this is part of Apple's strength. I mean, this is actually, funny enough, kind of ties into what I wrote about on Friday as well, talking about Apple's support for older devices with the operating system upgrades. This is Apple's strength, but at the same time, there are some drawbacks. And like, I think that Apple should pay attention to the Pro line, even if it's a relatively small part of its overall revenues. I think that the Pro line carried Apple for the Pro customers carried Apple for a long time, and certainly when Apple was in its darkest days, and I wish that Apple would give a nod to their needs and do something crazy like update the Mac Pro more than once every 3 years.
You know, my feeling is the Mac Pro is just a dead product, and I hope I'm wrong.
The 2013 Mac Pro is dead, but I can see fourth gen Xeon processors and Thunderbolt 3 and a different case and a new design that would make professionals really happy. I can see that happening. I don't feel like Brian does that Apple's too much loyalty to the Pro market of the past, but I do see Apple needing to maintain a Halo Mac and also legitimacy in the world of the professionals, because there are lots of people who just don't want to use PCs for their professional work, and they want to have a high-end desktop, and they want to connect their own display, and they want to, and they have some money, and they want to buy a machine that they can be proud of, and it is blindingly fast and helps them do their work. And while a MacBook Pro with an i7 processor is pretty fast and it's quad core, you just can't touch a really good desktop machine that's say headless like the Mac Pro. I'm torn on this. I can kind of see Apple saying, well, we're going to stay with the 5K iMacs because this is a good selling machine, and we get to integrate the 5K display into our hardware, and we don't need, and professionals should be happy to use a machine like that. But there's just so many people who want to have their own display attached.
Oh, there's so many people who need the horsepower, too. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people who want and need multiple displays. And these people are being forced to
moving
contemplate.
To HP.
Yeah, they are. They are. And and it drives me nuts. So I like John's optimism. I would like to see it. If there is one reason that would excuse Apple's completely embarrassing and, quite frankly, in my opinion, disgusting treatment of the Mac Pro since it was released, it would be that it's because Apple realized they screwed up and they need to make a design that is more befitting of what pros need as opposed to what is...
I like that theory.
I would like that to be the case, and I hope that it's the case. And I'm willfully optimistic. I am willfully optimistic, but this is one of the situations where my abject fury just sort of clouds my judgment.
Well, the other thing that comes up, Brian, is that in certain highly competitive circles, Apple needs to keep things secret and spring things on us and surprise and delight us and catch the competition off guard, not give away corporate secrets. So there's a rule for corporate private security and secrecy in that regard. But the PC wars are over. Yes, 67%, I think, of Apple's revenue comes from iPhones. there is nothing to be lost by telegraphing to the professional community, hey, something cool is coming, and we're working on it. There's nothing to be lost there.
They did that when the trash can style Mac Pro came out. Tim Cook he telegraphed very blatantly, something is coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that now. Yeah, and how Apple, and I feel like, Brian, how does Apple justify bringing out a machine with such glory and such fanfare, and Phil Schiller boasting about how Apple can innovate at WWDC 2013 with all that momentum and all that, you know, that glory and focus on professionals? How do they expect the community to react when they hear nothing from Apple after 3 years?
No new graphics cards, no new processors. I mean, and not to mention the fact that it's a pro machine that can hold a maximum of a terabyte hard drive. It's actually an SSD.
A terabyte SSD, and that's it.
And which is just like the most ridiculous thing ever for a pro machine. But to still be doing that 3 years later is, I mean, it was crazy when the Mac Pro came out and it only had a terabyte of SSD. That was 3 years ago.
The only thing I can think of is that they were waiting for Thunderbolt 3. And there was no point in updating the Mac Pro without Thunderbolt 3. That's the only thing I can think
of. I would argue that putting updating the video cards and updating the processors was an imperative.
And unless there were some fundamental design issues that cropped up there is this issue with the graphics lockup that some people have had in their Mac Pros with the D300 graphics card. And it could be that there were some fundamental motherboard bus contention issues that needed redesigning, and maybe Apple was waiting for new chips.
Yeah, that's true.
Technology.
And in the meantime, they're telling everyone, don't worry, just go over to HP and get your Z workstation and go from there. that's basically what they're saying.
It's not as if Apple has the resources to solve these problems. Oh, wait. Apple has all of the resources. All of them. All of the resources. Put some people on this problem and get it solved.
When Apple announces the new MacBook Pros, as you said, here in a few weeks or a month or two, and we don't hear an announcement about the Mac Pro at that event, the handwriting on the wall will be clear, I think.
Yeah, and my guess is that unless a big surprise happens, the Mac Pro user of today is the HP Z workstation user of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me really sad.
What's interesting to me is, what does Apple use? Most of Apple is using MacBook Pros and MacBooks and
iMacs.
And iMacs, that's
for sure.
I think
Tim Cook has a 27-inch iMac on his desk, right, from the photos I've seen.
But there are certainly people within Apple who need more. What are they using?
That's a really good question. I would love to know.
That's been one of my biggest arguments to people who worried that Apple would kill the Mac entirely. And it's like, you know, are you kidding? And use Windows like an animal?
Not going to happen.
Yeah, I love that line, by the way.
It's not going to happen. But it seems to be happening now with the Pro line. I mean, there are people within Apple who do heavy data crunching. What are they using?
That's a really good question. I would, if someone knows, just slip us a line. Let me know. Because it would be nice to know what Apple's using. Maybe that would give us an indication of where they're headed with their Pro desktop line.
Yep. Now, one last interesting thing, and I know you're going to start yelling at us about time, Jeff, is that the previous Mac Pro was a surprise because it was being made in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So it was being manufactured by Apple employees, not contract employees, not Foxconn, not Pegatron or any of the other companies out there that do contract work for Apple. And because Apple had it entirely under their control, it was a huge surprise. So the fact that we haven't gotten any
leaks
is not, and it's not necessarily indicative of anything.
True.
Just food for thought.
And this is why I'm hoping I will be pleasantly surprised this fall with with the new Mac Pro completely redesigned. Yeah. And you're right. We're so close to the point where I could be yelling, but I'm not going to, because I'm actually really excited about our sponsor today, which is Mack Weldon. And if you're not familiar with Mack Weldon, you ought to be. I'm familiar with them because, well, it's no secret that I really don't like having to wear pants, which makes it imperative that I wear something that doesn't cause fright and wailing of gnashing of teeth as I'm walking down the street or out in public anywhere. And anyhow, so Mack Weldon, what they do is they make just really fantastic underwear, undershirts, t-shirts, sweats, polo shirts. And before I started talking about them, I thought, this is going to be kind of weird, because what am I going to say about a company that makes underpants? So I went to their website and picked up some stuff so I could try it out. And the shopping experience was great. It was easy to figure out what I wanted, make a purchase, and holy crap, their stuff is really nice. Like, it feels really good. And considering most people have to wear underpants like pretty much all day long, you might as well wear something that's really good, really comfortable. And I've been trying out what's called the 18-hour, and I'm just really impressed with it. They also have a line called Silver, and it has actual silver woven into the fabrics, which helps cut down on potential odors, and it helps because it does this antimicrobial magic thing, so they don't smell. That's the idea. So their stuff looks great, and I've been trying out their t-shirts, and those are really nice also. If you're into polo shirts, check those out. And much to my surprise, I even like their socks. So what you need to do is go pick up some of their stuff, because if it's going to be against your skin, it might as well feel good. And their stuff does. So go to their website. It's mackweldon.com, mackweldon.com. And then use the promo code TDO, and that's going to get you 20% off your order, which is really nice, because everyone deserves a little discount and something that feels good when they're wearing it. So go check them out, mackweldon.com. Use the discount code TDO for 20% off and get some really awesome stuff to put up against your skin, since we're kind of not in the same place, so we can't put each other against our skin. All right, mackweldon.com, and thank you for being our sponsor. And with that, we are out of time. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
And John, thank you for being here, too.
You're very welcome. Mac Pro forever.
Yeah, yeah. That's so precious. Listeners, thank you for being here. Let me know what you think about Apple's Pro product line. Hit me up on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. Shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com, or leave comments in the show notes. I want to know what you think. And also go check out mackweldon.com and use that discount code TDO and get yourself some great stuff to wear. Totally worth it. Thanks for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.